in the audience today, we have Laura Jo Wallace, if you can raise your hand. She is a co-author with me on this, and also a colleague from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, Jen Robertson, back here, if she can raise her hand. So we have no relationships to disclose during this presentation. So the goals for this session are really to explain how these mini-grant projects that we are doing with the 84 can promote local tobacco policy change. I'll also talk about comparing the benefits of doing actual assessments as opposed to just doing or using anecdotal evidence, and also list some strategies for how we do our mini-grant projects in Massachusetts. So let me start by talking about what the 84 is. The 84 represents the 84% of high school students in Massachusetts who didn't smoke when the program began in 2007. That number is now 89%, and we've done a lot of work to get there, and we're really excited to see the percentage increasing, but we still have a lot of ways to go, especially with electronic cigarettes and other tobacco products, which are still on the rise, just like much of the rest of the country. The way that our program works is we have chapters across the U.S. or across the state, excuse me, either in high schools or community-based organizations like YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, places like that that deal directly with high school students, and we have about 100 of those statewide. In addition to the youth groups that are working on local tobacco policy change, we work in collaboration with and are funded by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and specifically in the Department of Public Health there's a program called the Massachusetts Tobacco Cessation and Prevention Program. So that's where we get our funding, and that group from DPH also has several adults who are working on these issues across the state. Both community partnerships, we call them, who work on local media efforts, they work on local policy, and also do OTP or other tobacco product presentations in the community. And we also have some boards of health that are funded in Massachusetts, and we have people who work directly with those boards of health to pass policies and work with young people in the 84. So really what I want to make the point of is that we do include youth in every part of what we do with policy, and no matter who the adults are in the state, we're always trying to engage young people and see how they can affect local policy. So we do this through mini grants, and thankfully we have some funding for them. They're small, they're between $1,000 and $2,000, but it does give youth the opportunity to be engaged in policy in their communities, in places that they wouldn't have had the capacity or knowledge to know where to begin to do these mini grants. So we really don't know what the landscape of policy in Massachusetts would look like without young people, because they often open doors to be able to talk to boards of health and open those doors in places where the adults couldn't find a way to get in to make local policy change. We have several options for the mini grants that the youth can do throughout the year. So I'm going to talk about the first three that are on this list, but if you want some more information on the other ones, feel free to talk to me afterwards. The first one I'm going to talk about is our flavored e-cigarette and cheap cigar survey. We piloted this with 5 schools back in fiscal year 14 just to see what the hardships were for it, kind of what the results were, and where we needed to tweak the questions. So then over the past year or so, we've been working with epidemiologists at DPH to try to come up with a survey that is a really comprehensive view of who's using these products in the high schools and why are they using them. Does flavor have an impact on why students are using tobacco products? So the youth actually administer these surveys in homerooms in their high schools, and they're the ones who put in the data online. We at Health Resources in Action kind of put that data together with DPH and give it back to the youth so that then they can take that and talk to their decision makers about what's happening in their actual high school, which is huge. It's huge to have this local data. And also these mini grants provide a vehicle for us to get some local data from the schools. So in Massachusetts, schools aren't required to release their YRBS data to us in the tobacco control field, but this is a way for us to say, hey, school administrators, can you please give us this information from the YRBS survey or from the youth health survey in Massachusetts so that we can use that data in conjunction with what the young people are presenting on their work with the 84. So to give you an example of what one of these questions on the survey is, This question asks, what in Wakefield, Massachusetts, what was the primary reason that youth were trying flavored tobacco products? And as you can see, the attraction to flavor and curiosity were the main two reasons that they were trying the products. On this same survey, one of the questions was, if these products weren't available in flavors, what's the likelihood that you would still use them? And 65% of the students that took the survey said that they would be less likely to use the products if they weren't available in flavors. These two stats together are dynamite when you're talking to local legislators, to be able to say, these students did this peer-to-peer survey, here's what they found. So what did the youth in Wakefield do with that? They're not just going to present the information, they're also going to ask for policy change. They first asked for a flavor restriction. So in Massachusetts, we've had 33 localities pass flavor restrictions, which means that flavored tobacco products can only be sold in adult-only establishments, like tobacco stores. Other than that, you won't find them in local convenience stores in these towns. So they asked for a flavor restriction, number one. They also asked for a minimum price on single cigars, so that each single cigar had to be $2.50 or more, when the average price is about $1.50, $1.29. You can find them for even cheaper than that. And then the third thing they ask for is for single cigars to no longer be sold in Wakefield. They ask for them to be sold in packs of two or more, making the total $5. And that would be a huge increase in the price that youth are paying for them now. So guess what happened? Just last week, the regulations passed. The youth went to the Board of Health actually earlier in the year, and the Board of Health kind of gave them the runaround, and they said, you know what, we need to think about this. Why don't you come back to us in the fall? So they did, and they pushed to get on the agenda again last week, and thankfully all three of these restrictions just passed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. The second mini grant project that I'll discuss a little bit is the community mapping project. So the community mapping project that we have, we give a list of tobacco retailer stores for each of the towns, and we get that list from the Department of Public Health. Then we ask the youth to on an Excel spreadsheet, basically, to put all of the schools, parks, playgrounds, and other youth hangouts that are in that town onto an Excel spreadsheet. And then once they do that, they plot that out. Some of them use GIS software, and some of them just print a huge map of the town and put little pinpoints, so they can see where the tobacco retailer stores are in relation to where all the young people are hanging out. So you can imagine, when you have a map like this, what ends up happening. And it really gets the young people to think critically once they look at the city data, like the income levels, the education levels, and the minority dispersion among the town, and you can see very clearly that there are more tobacco retailers in these areas. So they again present these findings to decision makers and powers that be. In Arlington, which is the one that I'm highlighting here, they worked with their local Board of Health, and in Arlington they have, over the past several years, been involved in hearings that have increased the age of minimum legal sales age of tobacco to 21. They already have a flavor restriction, they have a pharmacy ban, they have minimum pricing on single cigars, and they have a blunt wrap ban. So in those kinds of places that already have a lot of tobacco policies, you say, okay, well, how can we still keep these young people involved? And what we don't want to forget is, even more local than that, there's schools. A lot of these schools don't have anything in the handbooks about other tobacco products or about nicotine delivery devices. So we need to make sure that young people are working with their school administration and their school committees in order to get something in their handbooks to include electronic cigarettes. So that's exactly what they did. They worked with their school committee, and now this year, over the summer actually, the school committee decided, based on their presentation, that they would include something now in the school handbook to make it not legal to smoke or to use e-cigarettes at Arlington High. They're also helping us develop materials so that we can transplant this project in other schools as well. So the final mini grant project I'll talk about is the STARS survey. How many of you have heard of the STARS assessment before? Okay, so about half of you have. So the STARS assessment stands for the Standardized Tobacco Assessment for Retail Settings. It was developed by five state health departments, the CDC, the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, and put out by the state and community tobacco control researchers. So this is an assessment that measures advertising and availability of tobacco products in stores. Again, we want people to actually use this data, so we bring this information to decision makers at the end. It assesses price, availability, and advertising, and again, we give the youth a list of tobacco retailers from the Department of Public Health, and we ask them to go and do surveys. So in Lynn, for example, this is our group, the 84 group, the Girls Inc. of Lynn. They surveyed 22 out of 132 stores, and they found that almost 40% of these stores had cigarette ads hung within 3 feet of the floor. And they found tobacco products for less than a dollar at all of the stores that they visited. So again, these kinds of data points are huge when you're talking to local decision makers. They don't have the same kind of eyes. If you've seen, and I should include myself, that adults don't have the same kind of eyes when we're looking at tobacco advertisements and where they're placed. We can be completely oblivious to that. So we should really just keep in mind that legislators are also oblivious to that and need some more education and information on that. I did want to mention before I go on that 2015 was the first time that we've used the STARS survey, and there hasn't been a specific policy passed in Lynn because of this. They already have a pharmacy ban and a blunt wrap ban there, but they are using that data again this year to get in with the Board of Health. And I don't know about your specific states, but at least in Massachusetts, politics can get really messy. This group, for example, started with the Board of Health to try it, and the Board of Health has regulatory authority in Massachusetts, so they can actually pass laws. So they started with the Board of Health. The Board of Health kicked them over to the City Council. City Council kicked them back to the Board of Health. So it is frustrating, but at least they have some data in order to present to them and say why they think that this is important. And they're not stopping. In fact, they're looking at new strategies this year to include local retail tobacco store owners in creating a presentation to now present to the Board of Health. And they think that they'll hopefully get something passed. So I think it's important to note that we should look first at the data and then complement that with anecdotes. I think a lot of times if you don't do a survey, if you don't do a community assessment, and you only can rely on the anecdote, then it's not as strong of an argument. So you see here, this is an example of something we had from one of our statewide leaders. And he said, my 8-year-old brother saw an e-cigarette at 7-Eleven and asked if he could get one. Well, couple that with the assessment that they did about 70% of stores having tobacco products placed within 12 inches of candy and explain that to a legislator, and that becomes a really strong argument for capping tobacco policy, capping tobacco licenses in the town, restricting the sale of tobacco within 500 feet of schools, and maybe even a flavor restriction in that town. This anecdote, my friend has a different e-hookah flavor for every day of the week. And if you couple that with the STARS survey data of 82% of students said that they wouldn't use tobacco products if they weren't available in flavors, guess what? You have another dynamite potion for your legislators to be able to see that this is really a big issue. And again, in this case, we would take this is a magic equation to be able to ask for a flavor restriction in a town. So really, when it comes to data, we want to just make sure that everybody's using it. So just as we said that we keep youth involved throughout the whole process and have the adults working with them, we also want to take the information that the youth collect and give that back to the adults. And so we try to have the youth first use that information locally in their school or in their community-based organization. And then we also give the results from whatever survey the youth have done or whatever project the youth have done, and we give that to our partners so that they can use it again when they're talking to decision makers. So as far as how we administer mini grants, again, I mentioned that they are between $1 and $2,000. They're not a lot of money, but they are enough to be able to do something. We encourage youth to get a stipend for the project that they do by the end of the year. They might get $50 or so just for having participated in the project. And we also let them take out some cash for administrative expenses. In addition, we have some checkpoints throughout the year. So we have a couple of required statewide events that they need to come to. We have a mid-year check-in that they have with me to let me know how everything is going on the mini grant. I'm constantly connecting them with other tobacco control workers from DPH in the field so that we are all on the same page, which is a job in itself, let me tell you. And then finally, we if we have any sort of survey that we do, we ask that they send 10 to 20 of those into us so that we can check them for quality before they continue on. We also ask that they turn in a final report. And these final reports are, I think, the most critical part of the mini grant process for me, because they really help me know if we're giving enough money for the project, if we've given enough guidance, if we need to change things, if they need more materials, etc. So this is an example of an anecdote, and clearly from this I could easily pull out the idea that they should probably do a community mapping project in this area. If they're seeing tobacco wrappers near parks, then guess what? That means that there's a problem, and that means that youth are seeing these all the time. So to recap a little bit, just make sure that you include youth in the process. Don't underestimate the power of young people in passing any local policy. If I could jump up and down and highlight that, I would. So please just make sure that youth are included in the process and continuously have that question in your mind, how can I involve young people? Because they are powerful tools when talking to legislators. And they become more passionate about the issue. Also connect them to any resources that you have that you're currently working on in the field. And make sure that whatever data is collected is not only stopped there, that it's given to decision makers. And if you're starting to hear stories from young people, try and see what kind of project you can couple it with that they can do. I mean, the STARS assessment is online. You can go look at that resource right now. You don't need to give a mini grant to do that project. That's something you can give the people that you work with right now. And also just pull out those anecdotes. They're really powerful when used with decision makers. And finally, just track the progress of the mini grants and make sure that they're complying with whatever you're trying to get as far as local policy in your state. So thank you so much for having me here, and I'm happy to answer questions at the end.